It's the one thing we can't live without. The deepest part of our souls cry out for it. Hope. Hope that it will all be okay. Hope that someone is standing in our corner for us. With us. And of all the places you could be in this exact moment, we want you to know this truth. Hope is here. Not a false hope that makes untrue promises. Not a guarantee of an outcome invented by any man or woman. Not a fantasy or an illusion or a make-believe invention, but a real, lasting hope. Hope that God is still good. Hope that He's really holding it all together. Hope that God has not turned His face away from any person or any situation. Hope that God is more intimately involved in our lives than we can ever know. Hope is here. Experience Easter at Agape House. Experience hope. Join us for our Passover celebration on Wednesday, April 9th and April 16th from 6:30 through 8:30 p.m. Our Palm Sunday weekend on April 12th, 6 to 8 p.m. and on April 13th from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Good Friday Holy Communion service, April 18th from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. On Easter weekend, April 19th and 20th, we will hold 4 services. On Saturday, service will be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Our 3 Sunday services will hold at 7:30 a.m., 9:30 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Agape House New Testament Church, located at Agape Land in East Ligon near ANC Square.
Anyone can be a disciple and everyone's called, but everyone must also pay the price. And that's our second truth today. If you turn your notes over to page 2, our second DNA is that there is the cost to be a disciple. Take your pen and fill in the blank. Anyone is called, any man can come, whoever can respond. But then Jesus goes on to tell us these words. He says, you must deny themselves and take up their cross. And I will be frank with you today, there is a cost to being a disciple. Salvation is free, but it will cost you everything. That's why Jesus said in Luke 14, 28 and 33, but don't begin, don't start your journey of faith until you count the cost. You cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. This is not a popular message today. We're told that God accepts us and no matter what we do, we're okay. We want to hear about all that God will do for us and His love and His grace. But you cannot deny the words of Jesus Christ. I didn't say it. Christ proclaimed it. The path of a disciple involves a cost. There is a price to pay. You have to surrender everything to Him. The problem is many today say, I believe, I will follow, but they're not willing to surrender their wills to God. And this same discrepancy between our confession and our actions was even evident in Jesus' day. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord. I believe. But first, let me go back and say bye-bye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The problem here is not love for your family. It's great to respect your family. But the problem here is that these men have limitations to their surrender. In other words, when it's convenient, I will serve you. When it fits my agenda, I will follow you. But God does not make bargains with any man. He doesn't compromise with us. And the first step to discipleship, the first DNA, is you've got to obey by yielding your will to God. You've got to die to self, take up your cross, and surrender all to Him. Let's be careful to understand what exactly Jesus meant when He said, let him deny himself. Jesus meant far more than self-denial, for there's a great difference between self-denial and denial of self. Self-denial is an outward, external refusal of some pleasure or comfort or recreation. Denial of self is a heart matter involving relegating your rights to a lesser place. Self-denial is when you give up something temporarily in the hope of getting something more. You fast for a few days in hope that God will answer you. You give up chocolate for Lent because you want to show your devotion. But denial of self goes deeper. It is a total abdication of control over your life into the hands of Jesus. I'm not against self-denial. We need to practice more self-denial. Unfortunately, a lot of non-Christians are actually better at self-denial than we in the church. There are Hindus in India who sleep on beds of nail because they are practicing self-denial. There are Muslims who fast more than you. There are many Muslims who pray 5 times a day. I'm lucky if I get you to pray 5 times a week. God bless you. There are Buddhists who practice self-denial. They abstain from comforts and jewelry. And don't get me wrong, we need to practice self-denial, but that's not what Jesus meant in Luke 9:23. In the original Greek language, deny yourself literally means to forget your own interests, to lose sight of your own interests. In other words, you die to self. I think one of the evidences of how dead we are to self is how we pray, because 99% of the prayers I hear us praying in the church are all about me, me, me. But when you deny yourself and take up your cross, your focus is on Christ and others. You lose sight of your own interest. It doesn't come by practicing spiritual rituals. It doesn't come by fasting or by giving or by flogging your body. For 1 Corinthians 7:19 says, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. And the difference between self-denial and denial of self can easily be seen in the story of 3 animals, the cow, the hen, and the pig. The cow, the hen, and the pig all lived together in a compound under their master's control. And one day the news came to these 3 animals that the king of the whole region was coming to visit their master. They got all excited because they knew that there was going to be a great feast. And they got excited about how they could show their allegiance to the king. And so the hen went strutting through the compound and said, I know what I will give. I will give some eggs to donate to the banquet for my king. And the cow went mooing through the compound, said, I know what I will do to show my loyalty. I will give milk, and my milk and cream and butter will be added to the feast. And the cow and the hen looked at the pig and said, what will you give? And the pig said, I'm giving my life. Now, there's a difference between making a contribution to the meal and becoming a part of the meal. And that's the difference between self-denial and denial of self. The cow and the hen made a donation, but the pig gave himself. Today, many churchgoers are like the cow and the hen. They make donations to the cause of Christ. They may come and drop their 5 or 10 CDs in the offering. They may say a few perfunctory prayers. They may even join a church, yet they fail to fully surrender themselves to Jesus Christ. Like the hen and the cow, they're willing to donate, but they're not willing to die. But Jesus calls us to die to self and take up our cross. He asks us to give our all. And when we do, it's a sacrifice we make for Christ. But he himself said in Luke 9, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And if you will follow me, you've got to follow me wherever I go and do whatever I do. And that involves sacrifice. Sacrifice is required from a follower of Jesus Christ because Jesus himself sacrificed. And to follow him as a disciple means to walk where he walked, to embrace what he embraced, to do what he did. And that's our third truth today. Turn your notes over to page 3 and we'll see the third DNA of a disciple. And it's this, the course of a disciple. We have the call made to whoever, made to anyone, any man. We have the cost of laying down our lives, denying ourselves, and taking up our cross. And then he sets for us a very clear course, a path we must take. He says, and follow me. Christ calls us to follow him. This is what the scriptures tell us in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be imitators of God. Be a photocopy of Jesus as dearly loved children and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. God says, be imitators of me. Live like I lived. Photocopy my life. Live a life of love. Many of us are able to perform deeds of love. Some of us can speak words of love. But God has called us as disciples to do more than one-time Sunday displays of love. He's called us to do more than just one-time acts of service. He's called us to constantly, continually, daily live a life of love in repeating words and actions that glorify him. A life of love. And here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. To be a disciple is a full-time occupation. It's a lifestyle that consumes you. It means putting aside your life and accepting his. For the truth we need to accept today is this. God is not telling you simply to reform your life. God is not asking you simply to put off some outward sins that cause shame and disgrace. God is not asking you to try harder or be more religious. He didn't call you to be a nice person or a good person. For Jesus Christ did not die on the cross simply to make you remedied into a nice person. Jesus didn't die so that he could just come and change a few things around in your life. Jesus died so that he could reproduce himself in you, so that suddenly there would be millions and millions of little Jesuses all over the world. For there is only one goal worthy of Christ's suffering and death: when we become like him, that we live like him, love like him, serve like him. He didn't suffer and die so that you could become a nice person. He didn't suffer and die so that you could read your Bible and pray every day. Jesus didn't suffer and die so that you could come to church 3 out of 4 Sundays in a month. Jesus didn't suffer and die so you could pay your tithe and give your offerings. The only thing worthy of his sacrifice, the only thing worthy of his suffering, was that your entire life would be transformed to become just like Jesus. And the only way we can do that is to obey him. For it is impossible to follow Jesus without obeying Jesus. That's why he himself said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do what I say? And if you're not serving Jesus, you're not following Jesus. If you're not giving, you're not following Jesus. If you will not sacrifice your time and use your talents and commit your treasure to God, then you are not following Jesus. Why do you even bother to call him Lord? I'm sorry to say, but I believe more lies are told in the church on Sunday morning than in the marketplace Monday through Friday. I surrender all. You lie. I give myself away so you can use me. Meanwhile, you signed up last year to help in Agape Kids. We've been calling you for 6 months. You won't pick your phone. You made a pledge to Covenant 2013 and we still haven't received it. May God bless you in Jesus' name. You're lying. You cannot follow Jesus and simply sit in your padded pew in an air-conditioned sanctuary, wave your hanky and say, I believe, you've got to change. You've got to obey him. You've got to do what he said. Simply put, to follow means to live like him. That's why 1 John 2:6 says this, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Those who say, I'm a Christian, I believe, I'm following, should live like Jesus did. Jesus shows us how to live. It could be summarized in John 13. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took a towel and a basin of water and knelt down at the feet of his disciples and served them and washed their feet. One day every knee will bow to him, but on this night he bows as a servant. Washing the feet was the lowest occupation in a house. If there were two servants in a compound, the junior one was the foot washer. Yet here is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords bowing to wash the feet. Hands that shaped the stars now wash away dirt. Fingers that formed the mountains now scrub toes. But not only that, think about the timing. This is the night before he died. He knows what lies ahead. He realizes he's about to suffer amazing anguish. He understands he'll be whipped and beaten, betrayed and killed. Yet his thoughts are not centered on himself. He's thinking of them. He's not just washing away dirt. He's washing away doubt. He's proving his love for them by serving them. If I were to go on trial, if I were facing the death sentence, I would want others to be focused on me. If I were preparing to face trial, I would want my friends to come and encourage me and minister to me. I would want my family to attend to me. I'd want them to fix me a meal and massage my back and carry my burden. But Jesus doesn't consider himself. He knows that the feet he's washing will run away to betray him. He knows the feet he's washing will go away to deny him. But he washes them anyway. And then he says to you and to me today in John 13, and since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. So what's your excuse when we ask you to serve? What's your problem when we ask you to pray? Why can't you come on time when we ask you to help? Oh, it's not convenient for me. Was it convenient for Christ the night he was betrayed? Oh, I don't have time. I don't feel like it. Did Jesus feel like it? And yet he says, do as I have done. What would happen if for one day Jesus were to become you? What if he woke up in your bed, lived in your house, and wore your clothes? What if he went to your working place? Your boss became his boss. Your landlady became his landlady. What if he rode the tro-tro you ride and ate at the chop bar you eat at? And what if he played football with the friends you play with? What if Jesus lived your life with his love? What if he loved and served others through your body? What would change? Would people notice a difference? Would your friends find you more peaceful and joyful? Would your enemies find you more gracious and merciful? Would your plans for the day change? Would your priorities change? Would your spending change? Would you pray more, give more, serve more, go more, do more, witness more? What would change? But that's exactly what it means to be a disciple. He lives through us. He loves through us. He serves through us. When that happens, a miracle takes place in you and in the world around you. For Jesus said in John 12, 24, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. So, you have a choice this morning. His call is clear. The cost is known. The course is set. Which will you choose? The two different items on the platform here with me today help us to illustrate our choice. Imagine you're going on a journey. You have two choices of how you will travel. On the one hand, there's this beautiful, comfortable leather touch chair. It's a recliner imported from the United States of America. Hey! It's so soft and cushiony, and it has a magic trick with the lever on the side to put your feet up. You can lie back and relax. This comfortable, cozy leather rocker recliner chair is on the most luxurious vehicle you could imagine. There's a luxury bus so fine. There's a big screen TV so you can watch the Black Stars lose to Libya. Oh, never mind. It's air conditioned. There are people on board serving you with drinks and food. It's unending. Anything you want. Coca-Cola, Alvaro, bring me Kenke, bring me tilapia, whatever you like. And there's your friends all surrounding you. It's on a road so smooth, so clear. There's not a pebble, not a crack, not a bump. And you fly down the superhighway in absolute luxury. Your other choice is the bicycle. It doesn't have a cushioned seat. It's a hard, uncomfortable seat. No one is there to attend to your needs. You don't have air conditioning. You have the local breeze. And to make matters worse, you're on a path that's a dirt path up a hill through jungle terrain. And it's miserable. The mosquitoes are biting you. The branches of the palm trees are slapping you. And you have to push with your leg until you're sweating and your heart is pounding. It's uncomfortable. It's inconvenient. It's nasty. And all you want to do is get down from the bike and push it over and say, I've had it. These are your two choices. Which do you choose? The comfortable chair and the luxury ride, or the bicycle up the dirt road in the hill? But before you choose, I urge you not to choose based on appearance, but on something more important. You really have to choose based upon the destination. For this comfortable chair in a luxurious accommodation is headed straight to hell. But the bicycle that requires so much suffering and sacrifice will lead you to the destination of paradise. Do not make your choice based on appearance. Make your choice based on destination. Do not make your choice based on comfort and convenience. Make your choice today based on destination. For Jesus himself said there's only two choices, follow me or not. In Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he said, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult. And only a few ever find it. Perhaps I've made you uncomfortable this morning. Perhaps I've made you angry. But the truth is, friend, I'm not here to tickle your ear. I'm here to tell you the truth. And the truth is, we're all called to be disciples. Jesus comes to all of us today, to whoever, to any man, and tells us, follow me. It's a costly choice that requires you to die to self, to give up your life, take up your cross, and live like Jesus did. A disciple is anyone who gives up everything to follow Jesus.
It's the one thing we can't live without. The deepest part of our souls cry out for it. Hope. Hope that it will all be okay. Hope that someone is standing in our corner for us. With. All the places you could be in this exact moment, we want you to know this truth. Hope is here. not a false hope that makes untrue promises. Not a guarantee of an outcome invented by any man or woman. Not a fantasy or an illusion or a make-believe invention, but a real, lasting hope. Hope that God is still good. Hope that He's really holding it all together. Hope that God has not turned His face away from any person or any situation. Hope that God is more intimately involved in our lives than we can ever know. Hope is here. Experience Easter at Agape House. Experience hope. Join us for our Passover celebration on Wednesday, April 9th and April 16th from 6:30 through 8:30 p.m. Our Palm Sunday weekend on April 12th, 6 to 8 p.m. and on April 13th from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Good Friday Holy Communion service, April 18th from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. On Easter weekend, April 19th and 20th, we will hold 4 services. On Saturday, service will be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Our 3 Sunday services will hold at 7:30 a.m., 9:30 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Agape House New Testament Church, located at Agape Land in East Lake Arm near ANC Square.